Okay, chaver. So we are learning the Gemara on Sota Lamed Beis Hamed Beis. The Gemara discusses that there are certain things that are ne'emar b'chol lashon. You could say in any language. Pasha Sota Vidui Meiser. These things can be said in any language. We noted that this was Rav Huttner's question on the Mishnah Brura, that if you have to say them in Yerushalayim, and how can you say it in any language? Because in Yerushalayim, apparently the only official language is Lashon Kodesh, but we answer that maybe there are other official languages based on this Sanhedrin. So the Gemara asks, how come Vidui Ma'iser is said b'chol lashon? So the Gemara answers, well, we learn va'amarta, va'amarta. Just like by Sota, it says va'amarta, and Sota is said b'chol lashon. So also, Vidui Ma'iser is said b'chol lashon. The Gemara asks, let's learn from the Leviim. So the Gemara says, no, we learn Amira, Amira. We do not learn Aniya va'amira from Amira. In other words, that since by the Leviim, the Torah says, Aniya va'amira va'anisa va'amarta, so therefore we cannot learn from the Leviim that Vidui Ma'iser is done only in Lashon Kodesh, because by Vidui Ma'iser, the Torah only says, va'amarta, it doesn't say, Aniya va'amira. And then the Gemara went on, and the Gemara says, it's interesting, Din, that we began discussing last time when we spoke about Yishai Ribo in this context. Tanya Rashbi Omer, Adam Omer Shvacho Bekonamoch Uganuso Bekoram, that when I praise myself, I should say in a low voice, but when I speak about my failings, my shortcomings, I should say that in a loud voice. Shvacho Bekonamoch, we learn from Vidui Ma'iser. By Vidui Ma'iser, the Torah only says va'amarta, and that implies that you don't do it so loud, but genuso bekoram mi mikra bikurim. The bad parts I learn that I say out loud, that is from mikra bikurim. Now, what is the bad part about mikra bikurim? Genuso bekoram, by mikra bikurim it says va'anisa va'amarta, but why is mikra bikurim considered something bad? Arami Oved Avi, right? Zakt Rashi. Arami Oved Avi means that Lavan Ha'arami is our Elta Zeta, and Lavan was a Rasha. That's what Rashi learns. So there's a few Chidushim in Rashi. First of all, Rashi agrees with the Haggadah Shel Pesach, that the translation of Arami Oved Avi means Lavan Ha'arami tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. No? That is, right, everyone knows this from the Pesach Seder, that Lavan, unlike Paro, who only wanted to destroy the boys, Lavan wanted to destroy everybody, right? Lavan wanted to destroy everybody because when Yitzchak came to marry Rivka, the Medrash says that Lavan tried to put poison in front of Yitzchak, and it turned out that the poison was shifted to Besuel. Had Lavan killed Yitzchak, so there would be no Klal Yisrael left. That is one approach to how Lavan bekeish la'akaris hakol. Of course, there's a more lumdish approach. You could say it over at your Pesach Seder this year. I always felt as a kid, if you don't say Torah at the Pesach Seder, your parents feel that they like wasted all their money on tuition. No, like you have to get in the Divrei Torah. So another approach is like this. The Gemara in Gittin says that if a person sends a shaliach to be Mekadesh and Isha, and the shaliach dies, and you don't know if the shaliach carried out his shlichus and married, fulfilled marrying Reuven to somebody or not, so zot the Gemara that the Mishaleach is aser b'chol nashim sheba'olam. Because every woman might be the sister of the woman who he married. No? Let's say it again. So if Reuven sends a shaliach to, right, Reuven sends a shaliach to marry somebody else, like in our case, Avram Avinu sends Eliezer as a shaliach to marry off Yitzchak. No? So if Eliezer dies because like the Medrash says, Lavan tried to poison Eliezer. If Eliezer would die, so we don't know who Yitzchak is married to. Therefore, Yitzchak can't marry any woman on the entire planet, because maybe that woman is the sister of his real wife. No?
So you can marry someone
who has no sisters. That's one possibility, but it certainly limits your choice. And it could be that the Pshat Lavan Bikesh La'Karat HaKol is based on that razzle-dazzle mahalach of the Shlichus. It's probably not Pshat.
If he killed Eliezer, then Yitzchak would be
Since he tried to kill Eliezer, and Eliezer is a Shaliach to marry Yitzchak, so it's going to end up that Yitzchak can't marry anyone, no? Because every woman in the world is this potentially the sister of... It's very lumdish.
Yeah.
Huh?
Doesn't it also tie into the machlokas as to whether or not the avos were bound by the mitzvah?
Slowly?
Yeah.
Right, so it gets involved when the avos are bound, and we know that, like, come on, you know, Yaakov himself married two sisters.
Like,
but okay, it's a shtickle taira, right? It's something...
It's nice.
It's closer to Yaffa than to MS. Is that fair? So now, the point is that we see from this Gemara that the Genus, which I'm supposed to say Bekoram, is because Lavan Ha'arami is the Elter Zeder. This leads to the Kasha that the Tshuva of the Melamed L'Hoel raises. Does anyone know? Did anyone look at the Melamed L'Hoel?
I didn't look at it.
Who is the Melamed L'Hoel? Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman. And who was Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman, and why was he important?
He's important because he was the third generation teacher of the Hildesheimer Yeshiva in Germany.
Correct. He was the rector of Hildesheimer Seminary.
And he was, which like was descending from like Rav Hirsch's like.
Well, kind of. In other words,
like, really,
Rabbiner Hildesheimer and Rabbiner Hirsch like had some major disagreements, but. It's the same type of Torem Derech Eretz idea. Reb David Zvi Hoffman is unusual among Gedolei HaPoskim in that, first of all, he wrote like academic type tshuvas. If you go through Rav Hildesheimer's tshuvas, certainly Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch's tshuvas, certainly the Sridesh has a little bit of academic stuff in his tshuvas, like his tshuva about hair covering. Right, the Sridesh spends a lot of time understanding the biblical Hebrew word upara. What does it mean? Upara is Rosh HaIsha. And he does like comparative language stuff to figure out what upara means. But Reb David Zvi Hoffman gives us different manuscripts. He's into saying, oh yeah, the Girsa over here in the Tosefta is like this, but the Girsa over there is like that. That's very unusual among poskim. Reb David Zvi Hoffman wrote a perush on Chumash, which is very interesting. It's he's an underutilized posek, in my opinion. He's really, I like it very much also because his tshuvas are short. If someone writes long tshuvas, I have no patience. So this is the tshuva. In this edition, by the way, of Reb David Zvi Hoffman's tshuvas, there is one tshuva that is not printed, which is like really funny.
Is that
the Kippa one? That's the Kippa one, right. Reb David Zvi Hoffman says that in the Rial Shul of Rabbiner Hirsch, so the students did not wear, the Rebellion, the students, no one wore a Kippa, no? Oh, and that somehow did not get printed in the, there's like, it's blank. The page is mamish, the page is mamish blank, which is really impressive how they could, now they could pull this off. I could find it over here somewhere.
Safer.
So this is the tshuvas of the Melamed L'Hoel. That's Reb David Zvi Hoffman's tshuvas. I'll find it a different time where that tshuva is mamish missing. It's like in this edition, it's like a blank page. It's like really funny that like the whole thing. It's just not there. I just took the page out. Oh. So it goes like this. Reb David Zvi Hoffman is bothered by the Kasha. You know, Pesach Seder, the Mishnah tells us in Psachim, Maschil Begunus Masayim B'Shvach, that you have to begin the Haggadah by speaking about bad stuff, and Masayim B'Shvach, you finish it off with the good stuff. So what's the ganos? Right? Two possibilities. In slavery, either avodim hayinu lofar b'mitzrayim is the gnus. Or else, the gnus is, what else does the Gemara say? It's machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. Mitchila of the avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. Right, those are the two approaches. Either the gnus is physical slavery, or the gnus is that spiritually we were oivdei avodah zarah. Those are the two approaches that are found in the Gemara. Okay. And of course, the Misayim b'shvach, the good stuff at the end, is that achshav kervanu hamakom avodaso, right, we're free, we serve the Rabbonu shel Olam, that's the good stuff. So, Frechman David Tzvi Hafman, how come the Gemara has a whole discussion about what's the bad? This Gemara here in Sota tells me beferish. What's the bad stuff? What's the maschol beginus? Arami oved avi! Right, why do you have to be mimerchak tovi lachmo? Why do you have to come up with a mitchilai de avodah zarah, whatever? Just say maschol beginus is the exact haggadah. The haggadah is maschol beginus. The haggadah is that we begin with that we begin by speaking about how Lavan ha'arami was our great grandfather. Right? By the way, it's, oh, that's why I got caught up in the middle of. Rashi learns that that Arami Oviravi is Lavan. The Rashbam al Hatayra learns Arami Oviravi is the Ibn Ezra learns it is Yaakov, I believe. The Rashbam learns it's Avram Avinu, right? The Rashbam learns that it's Avram Avinu, which you have to figure out. It's not so easy. What the word Arami Oved Avi, what those words mean. If you're interested, Professor Richie Steiner, who teaches in the Bernard Revel Graduate School, has some articles on this topic.
It's like a partial thing with commas.
It's a partial thing with commas. What the word Oved, should it be Me'abed or Oved? That's one of the Ibn Ezra's Tainas over here. So we assume that it is, it refers to Lavan Ha'arami. So how come we don't say that Maschol Begnus, Misayim B'Shvach, is Lavan Harami? So what does the Melamed Lahoel answer? Anyone took a look at this? Melamed Lahoel says an interesting thing. You know, you need two halves. Maschol Begnus, Misayim B'Shvach. In the psukim that we say is the Haggadah, Arami Yovid Avi Vayeri Mitzrayim, right? Vayeri Asana Mitzrayim Vayanunu. Where's the Shvach? Where's the good stuff? So the good stuff is, the shvach is vayivienu al hamakom hazeh. The shvach, the good stuff by Mikra Bikurim, is that the farmer now in Eretz Yisrael, that farmer has fruit that just bloomed, that just blossomed, and the farmer says, hinehe vesias reishis priyadam hashem nasatuli hashem, v'hishtach avisa, he bows down, and vayivienu al hamakom hazeh, the shvach is that now we are in Eretz Yisrael. Now that Shevach in Eretz Yisrael only makes sense Bizban HaBeis HaMikdash, no? La'achar Chorben HaBayis. So they're not going to say Vayivienu al HaMakom HaZeh. Because La'achar Chorben HaBayis, we're not in Eretz Yisrael anymore. And saying that, if anything, will make us sadder. And it could be that even Bizman HaBayis, when they're not in Eretz Yisrael, they would not say, Vayivienu al HaMakom HaZeh. So if that's the case, you can't have Maschol Begnus Misayim B'Shvach about Arami Oved Avi, because we're not going to be saying the Shvach at the end. So therefore, we have to come up with a new text of the Haggadah. Either Avodim Hayinu or Metchila of the Avodah Zara, a new text, so to speak, has to be invented because we are not in Eretz Yisrael anymore. What the Melamed Lahoel is suggesting, which is really interesting, is that our entire Haggadah is not the Haggadah that was said when Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, no? When we're in Eretz Yisrael, you don't need Avodim Hayinu and mitzchilo if they avoid the zara, because you have a different gnos, you have a different shevach.
Also, Bracha lists a lot of the things that were said. for the Gada, no?
Again?
Like in Brachot recently we were listing a lot of the things that were said in the Gada, so that's saying like that was listing already because they were in Galus, but there's a different version beforehand.
Apparently, yeah. Apparently the Haggadah is not fixed in time. And there was a different Haggadah before Churban HaBayis, and different Haggadah after Churban HaBayis. And before Churban HaBayis, the Haggadah was just, again, the Pasuk, the Mishnah writes that you are Doresh from Arami Oved Avi, Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kula. That's the Lashon of the Mishnah there in Psachim. You have to say the whole thing. We don't say the whole thing, no? We don't say Vayivi'inu Ala Makom Hazeh. Apparently, in the time of the Mishnah, they did say the whole thing. There is a halacha masul b'gnus m'sayim b'shvach, and therefore the Gemara has to come with like a new lashon, a new nusach ha-haggadah for Churban HaBayis. Right? This could be, of course, again, the question is about how many questions there are, right? Do you have a question of Haseba or not? That also relates to whether the Haggadah is... I didn't mean... Right, for us, we have a question of Haseba. Bizman HaBayis, they had a question of B'chol HaLeilos, they used to eat any type of meat that they wanted. You want to eat cooked meat, you want to eat roasted meat, but HaLeilo HaZeh Tzli. Right? Leil HaSeder, they'd only eat roasted meat. Again, that's a Beis HaMikdash type of question. After the Mishnah, after Churban HaBayis, and Rav and Shmuel are talking about it, so they don't have Beis HaMikdash questions anymore. They don't have Vayivin Olam Akom HaZeh anymore. That's the way Amir David Tzvi Hoffman explains it. Hello, Meira.
I don't really understand, like, how the text has changed. It's changed from what to what?
I think they used to say the entire... In other words, there is a halacha of Maskel B'Gnos M'Sayim B'Shvach. The way they used to fulfill that is just by saying the psukim of Arami Oved Avi through Vayivin Olam Akom HaZeh. And when they say those psukim, that was Maskel B'Gnos M'Sayim B'Shvach. However, Acha Churban HaBayis, or even Bizman HaBayis, if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, so you need a different nusach, because the Shvach is not Vayivin Olam Akom HaZeh. They're not saying that anymore. So once you have a different Shvach, they have a different Gnai also.
Why can't you do Arami Oved Avi still as the bad part?
So they could have done Arami Oved Avi still as the bad part and something else as the good part. But apparently they felt that it should be... What did your English comp teacher tell you? That you want to like have parallel structure? Hey, it would be like a little bit weird that you have the gnus about, oh yeah, bad stuff about love and harami. The good stuff is, you know, we're no longer Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It doesn't mix well. So
it's not like offering Bikurim? Is that why?
I mean, again, within Bikurim, you have the Shvach being Vayivin Olam Makom Hazeh. We fulfill, the Mishnah has a rule that you're supposed to say Maskel B'Gnos M'Sayim B'Shvach, and you're supposed to darshan the entire parsha of Mikra Bikurim. Right? Those are the rules in the Mishnah in Psachim. We fulfill darshaning Arami Oved Avi, those are the Psukim of Mikra Bikurim, but we don't fulfill that word in the Mishnah of that you are Dorish Kol HaParsha Kula. We don't say... Maskel B'Gnos M'Sayim B'Shevach, I mean the Mishnah Kuf Tes Zayin and Psachim, V'Dorish Me'Arami Oved Avi, Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kula. Ad Sheyigmar Kol HaParsha Kula. In the Mishnah, Maskel B'Gnos M'Sayim B'Shevach is Arami Oved Avi through the end of the parasha. But Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas as Amoraim because they can't use the Arami Oved Avi as the Maskel B'Gnos M'Sayim B'Shevach because they're not M'Sayim B'Shevach anymore. That's what we're trying to say. I don't know if I answered your question, I just confused you a little bit more, but I'm trying to make it clearer. Hello, Ms. Engel.
Is his theory based on the Segelon, or is there also historical, like, precedent for the Haggadah's, like,
okay,
evolution.
So, are we in the Beis Medrash now, or we are in the classroom?
Oh, no, I don't have that.
In the Beis Medrash, I would say. Okay, the real answer is there is a professor. I actually took him when I was in Bernard Revel, Professor Yosef Tabori. Any of you studied with Rabbi Yamin Tabori, Zechron Alavracha? Rav Tabori was just Nifter this year. He was a Ram in the Gush. He taught in Migdal Oz. He was a massive Talmud Chacham. His brother, Yosef Tabori, is a professor of liturgy in Bar Ilan, which means he's a professor of Siddur, Haggadah. His doctorate is on the Haggadah. So his doctorate is about discovering the Haggadah HaMekori. What exactly the Haggadah looked like in different generations. What was the Haggadah in Tkufas HaMishnah, right, etc. There's a lot to be said about that. Again, you could speak about it from a scholarly perspective and from a halachic perspective. So I'm not answering your question, I'm just giving you a marimakum.
But wouldn't they be identical, Adrian?
They're not. Shouldn't the halachic perspective be identical to the historic perspective? They work in different sort of ways. In other words, yeah. The halacha is more concerned with like bottom line, and it doesn't go through the entire process of how we got there. So there's going to be missing generations.
Okay.
That's... Oh. So Zak the Gemar Vayter. Again, we're saying that I say the Shevach Bikol... I say the Shevach Bikol Namach. And I say the Genos Bikol Ram. The Shevach Bikol Namach. We said it's vidui ma'iser, and we spoke about how vidui ma'iser is a vidui, etc. The genus b'koram is mikra b'kurim. Zot the Gemara, what do you mean you say genus b'koram? Genus b'koram, amr Reb Yochanan, mishum Reb Shimon ben Yochai, mipnei ma tiknu tefila b'lachash, kidei shelo levayesh es ovei aveira. Sharei lo cholak hakosav makom ben chatos la'ola. What's the Gemara's kasha? You have to call out already, right? At this point in the semester, no raising cans, just call out. Meat market. Let's go, Chevra.
Why do you daven quietly?
What?
Why is there a takana to daven quietly?
So we're saying that you're supposed to say the genus b'kol ram, but nonetheless, we daven quietly because
we don't embarrass
Ovrei Aveira. So therefore, we don't say Shmoyne Esrei out loud. So therefore, we don't do genus b'koram, frak the Gemara. Genus cannot be b'koram, because the whole reason for Shmona Esrei being silent is so as not to embarrass Ovrei Aveira. Okay. And how do I know I don't want to embarrass Ovrei Aveira? The Gemara says, because there's a carbon chatos and a carbon ola, and they're both shechted in the tzafon, because we don't want anyone to know, right? We actually wondered why you, probably 30, 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, Rabbi Danny Rapp did the Purim Spiel. Yeah, you probably have no idea who he is, but he's a funny guy. He's a Rebbe in YU now. So Rabbi Rapp's Purim Spiel was about the nosy Kohen. And the Kohen is like, aha, so you're here to bring a carbon. So what is your Aveira? Oh, Shifcha Charufa, very exciting, wow. This was like his Purim spiel. That's exactly the opposite of what it should be, no? The Kohen would know, Zok the Gemara, who's bringing a chatos, who's bringing an ola, because the ola has to be sprinkled above the chut hasikra. There's like a line on the mizbeach. The chatos is sprinkled beneath it. Excuse me, the ola is underneath the chut hasikra, and the chatos is above it. So the kohen would know who's bringing a chatos, who's bringing an ola, but the bystander doesn't know. We want to make sure that people don't know who did which aveira. So therefore, Zak the Gemara, if by karbanos we have the chatos and the ola in the same place, not to be mevayish the ovrei aveira, we also don't daven Shmona Esrei out loud, not to be mevayish the ovrei aveira. So what are you telling me? that you're supposed to say Gnus Bekoram, the Gnus cannot be Bekoram, because the Gnus has to be done in a way not to embarrass the Ofri Aveira. That's the Gemara's Kasha. So what's the Gemara answer, ladies? One of the most important things, by the way, in Gemara, this I tell my students, actually I tell everyone when I give them a bechina to get into smicha. You, at the end of Seder every day, I'm strongly recommending this for all of you, the last 5 minutes of Seder, close the Gemara, and you have to say to your chavrus in Yiddish, Vos haben wir gelernt heint? What did we learn? And what you should be able to do is summarize the entire Gemara. Right? Close the Gemara at the end of Seder, what did we learn? You should know the Shach V'Tarya called. This is what we learned. And you should be able to say, and Rashi says this, Rashi adds that, Tosis has this kasha, whatever you learned, the Marim Akomis that we have on the sheet. At the end of Seder, you should be able to spend 5 minutes summarizing Vos haben wir gelernt heint. Good? That could be like a test, like of Yiddish. So Zuck the Gemara. Right? It can't be that Genuso should be done the Koram, because you're not supposed to. We don't want to be Mevayish the Ovrei Aveira. Rather, what is done the Koram, Zuck the Gemara? Not the Genus, but... You're looking at me, Sarah. Say it. Look down. Avoid eye contact. New York City subways. Zuck the Gemara. It doesn't mean Genuso. It means Sa'aro. Sa'ar you do Bekoram, not Genus. What's the difference between Sa'aro and Genuso? What's the case of the Sa'aro? The Gemara learns it from a pasuk Tamei Tamei Yikra.
So we're supposed to say that they're tamei in order that other people should daven for them so they can get better.
Excellent. Right? We're talking about a mitzora. The mitzora is sent out of the machane. And the mitzora has to tell everybody, I am a mitzora. I have tzaras because I did averos. That means two things. That means, and Rashi comments over here, suru me alav, shatamehu, stay away from me, I'm tamei. So the Tamei calls out, I'm Tamei, stay away. But Tamei, Tamei Yikra also means that you should call out so that other people will be Mevakesh Rachamim for you. So Zok the Gemara, you don't speak about your Genus Bekoram. The Averis that you did, don't say it out loud. But the Tsar that you go through, which Rashi over here also sounds like it's the tsar of all Klal Yisrael. Tsaro means tsara sha'avru alav, which is tsara sha'avru al Yisrael, the tsara of love and ha'arami, etc. That you say Bekoram. That's what Rashi learns. Okay. So now, Chevra, we finished this Gemara. Tell me, why do we say Shemona Esrei silently?
To not embarrass
the people who did Averis. And apparently, it can't be that you just say Slach Lanu silently, and the rest of Shemayin Esri you say out loud, because what? Because that's not right. It's not right to say part of it out loud, part of it silently. Which means, says the Chazon Ish, that it's improper what people do. Do you have a daven in the shul and you have like someone like who screams out, Mashiv Aruachu Mayrin Hageshem, like in the middle of the sign Shemona Esrei, like, we thank you very much. Like, we very much appreciate the reminder. You know, like, you're just telling me, V'sein Talamata Lofra. You have people who do this like for months on end.
I do Yalav Yavo, though.
So the Yalav Yavo guy. But Zok the Chazon Ish, it's not proper. Because I see from this Gemara that you do all of Shemayna Esrei the same volume. We're not going to say only say Slach Lanu silently and do everything else out loud. Because, no, you do the whole thing out loud or the whole thing silently. You don't mix and match. So it's not proper to scream out. There is a tshuva. I was looking for it before at home. I couldn't find it. If I remember correctly, there's a tshuva in the Kozhe Glover. The Kozhe Glover was the second Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin, no? Just a couple of weeks ago, there was the Siyam HaShas and Daf Yomi, and everyone talks about the first Rosh Hashiva in Chachmei Lublin, Meir Shapiro, no? After Meir Shapiro was nifter, Rabbi Aryeh Tzvi Frumer, the Kozhik lover Eloi, became the Rosh Hashiv in Chachmei Lublin, and he has tshuvas called Eretz Tzvi. If you're interested, the floor 5A in the Mendel Gottesman Library was dedicated by his grandchildren in his memory. So there's a picture of the Kozhik lover on floor 5A in the Gottesman Library. So if I remember correctly, I couldn't find it tonight, there's a tshuva in the Kozhik lover where he tries to defend the practice of people screaming out, Yalev Yavai, Alanisim, whatever it is. He defends that practice because he says maybe there is tefillah, is actual davening, and then there are like addendums to davening. And maybe Yalev Yavo isn't part of actual davening. Maybe Yalev Yavo is an addendum to davening. That's like a famous yisod that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, right? Reb Soloveitchik's grandfather, Reb Chaim, had this yisod. You know, if I make a mistake in davening, I obviously have to repeat Shmona Esrei. If I don't say Yalev Yavo, let's say on Chol HaMoed, or Rosh Chodesh, Shachris, and Mincha. I don't say Yalev Yavai. So I also have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But says Reb Chaim, when I repeat Shmona Esrei for skipping Yalev Yavo, it's not the pshat that I didn't daven Shmona Esrei. The pshat is that I daven Shmona Esrei, but I didn't fulfill my special mitzvah saying Yalev Yavo. And we give you a heter to repeat Shmona Esrei in order to get that extra mitzvah saying Yalev Yavo. And therefore, Reb Chaim said that if a person remembers that he skipped Yalev Yavo at Shachris once he already davened Mincha, or once she already davened Mincha, then you don't repeat the Shmona Esrei. It's not if I didn't daven Shachris, right, at all. So after I daven Mincha, I do Tashlumin for Shachris. But says Reb Chaim, no, when I skip Yalev Yavo, it's not the pshat that I didn't daven. I davened, but I didn't get the special mitzvah of Yalev Yavo. That's similar to what the Kozhik lover says. The Kozhik lover is saying, again, I couldn't find this tshuva, but I'm pretty sure I remember it. The Kozhik lover is saying, you know what? Davening, silent. Yalev Yavo is not davening. It's an extra mitzvah that we shtup into the Shmona Esrei. If I remember correctly, Rabbi Eli Konigsberg's son said this as his bar mitzvah pshato. Whatever. It's totally random. But that's the idea, I think, of the people screaming at Yalev Yavo, but the Chazanish seems to be correct, that it's not proper to say part of davening out loud and part of davening silently. Okay, so Chevra, why do I say Shmona Esrei silently? One reason is found in Sota Daf, Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, not to embarrass Ivrei Aveira. What other reasons are there for saying Shmona Esrei silently? Sarit. V'chana hi medaberes al liba rak sfasehonos v'koiloch lo yishamea v'yachsheveho eili l'shikora. Right, that's what the pasuk says. My daughter's studying for the Chidon now, so she's like walking like through the house, like saying over Shira Schana. I think the next Chidon test is like 25 prakim or something on Shmuel Aleph. I have this stuff, Baruch Hashem, coming out of my ears. It's wonderful. The Gemara tells us in Baruch Islam at Aleph, which was Daf Yomi yesterday, right?
Two days ago.
So you remember Baruch Islam at Aleph. Says, Kama Hilchasa Gevirta Ikola Mishra Mechana, where there are many big important halachas that you can learn from Chana. One of them is that you should say davening quietly. You should articulate the words, you should move your lips, but you should not say it out loud. You also learn from Chana that you shouldn't daven when you're drunk. You also learn from Chana that you should daven with kavana, v'chana, hi medaberes al liba. Right, she's speaking, right, to her heart. She's davening with kavana. That's what the Gemara says. Kame hilchasa gevirta, ikol mishma mechana. So that's the second source of davening silently, not out loud. What other sources are there davening silently, not out loud?
Brachos
daf chafdal amin beis says that if you daven out loud, you are one of the Nevi'ei HaSheker, right? Or something like that. Because if I daven out loud, it's ki'ilu I'm saying, you know what? Hey God, listen up! Maybe you're deaf. Now, isn't that what the Nevi'ei Haba were saying in the episode of Eliyahu HaNavi at Har HaKarmel? No? They're screaming out loud. You shouldn't daven like that. The Ribbono Shel Olam can hear us. So that's another source of not davening out loud. There's a fourth source. It's a Mishnah in Avos. What does the Mishnah in Avos say, Chevra? Did I give this to you in the Makaris?
Yeah, I just understand the connection.
So I think the Mishnah in Avos says that there was like a nace in the Beis HaMikdash, that even though there was not that much space, but everyone was able to bow down, and when everyone bows down, no one is able to hear the guy next to them. Where is that Mishnah, Perek?
Hey,
which Mishnah? Hey.
Yeah.
Nisan Latsavasin Beis HaMikdash. Loipila Isha Mimeach Besar Kodesh. Loisriach Besar Kodesh Me Olam. When there is a Vub Beis HaMitbachim. Loi Rekarakah and God will be Makipurim. Lo Kibu Geshamim Eisha Atsyam Aracha. Velo Nitzisah Ruach. Es Amur Ha'osham. Nitzapsul Ba'oim Mishdei Alechem Lechem Aponim. Omdim Tzefufim Numishdachavim Rivachim. They would stand up and they would be all close together. When they would bow down, they would be mishtachavim revochim. They'd bow down with a lot of space. What's the chiddush of that? The aimdim safufim u'mishtachavim revochim. So the chiddush is Kishahayu, I'm reading Rashi, or whoever wrote the commentary on the side of Avos, that's called Rashi. So I'm reading the Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Omdim tzefufim tzechukim b'midasan, u'kishahayu mishtachavim klapei shchina levake shulishol, ko echad tzrachav hayu revach kolkach, sheh ben echad le'echad dal al amos, kedei shelo yishma echad tfilas chaveiroi. Right? The chiddush is that we're smamish so close together. But apparently they would really ask their bakashos during the Zman of the Hishtachavaya, when they would bow down, when they'd prostrate themselves. And at that point there was enough space. Zakt Rashi, the space is so that you don't hear what I'm asking for. No, tefillah is a very personal thing. I'm bearing my heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't want other people hearing me. Omdim tzafufim u'mishtachavim revachim. In order, says Rashi, they're in Avos, in order that you don't hear me. Which again, you get the impression that ordinarily tefillah was done silently, so that you don't hear. The chiddush was that in the Beis HaMikdash, when they would bow down, they had enough space that no one would hear their actual tefillah. It's not shayach not to hear the actual tefillah if you're so close by. But when they bow down in the mikdash, they'd have space. Now, let's go slowly. There is a question that the poskim discuss. The Tor in Simen Kuf Aleph, and all the mefarshim there in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berura, I gave you all the Mishnah Berurahs in Kuf Aleph to look at. When I say that you daven silently, what does silent mean?
You still need to hear your words, right?
So I should hear my words, or not?
Your lips have to be moving. So
my lips have to be moving. That's clear from Chana, right? In other words, hear hur is no good. If I just think the words, again, we might pass the hearers kadibur dami b'diyevet, but certainly I should articulate the words, say them out. But am I supposed to say it loud enough that I hear my words?
So they teach
you say, ugh. Actually, when they teach, my son's in third grade now, he's learning Shmona Esrei, they say Shmona Esrei out loud.
Yeah, that too.
Which I think is, first of all, if you want to pronounce the words properly, that's like very important. So the Rashba there in that sugya of Chana, the Rashba writes that there seems to be a bit of a contradiction the way the Gemara says it. The Gemara says, Gemara says shelo yagbia kola. Don't say it. Don't use a loud voice. But there's a lot of space between using a loud voice and just moving your lips. So the Rashba writes, in his opinion, what you should do is you should say it loud enough that you could hear it. But then the Rashba quotes a Tosefta. That sounds like it should be mamish silent. But then they point out that the Tosefta doesn't really say it should mamish be silent. There's like a study of girsology, the science of girsas in the Tosefta. Tosefta probably doesn't really say it should be silent. So, as a matter of halacha, you should say that you should daven loud enough that you could hear it yourself, but not loud enough for other people to hear it. That's what it says, Givaldic. The Beis Yosef lived in Turkey first, and then he moved to Eretz Yisrael, no? And when he came to Eretz Yisrael, so he wrote what's called the Bedek HaBayis, which is like the updated version of the Beis Yosef. And unlike in the regular Beis Yosef, where he almost never quotes Zohar, he quotes Zohar's every mitvach and darnishtik every Wednesday and Thursday in the Bedek HaBayis. And over here also, the Beis Yosef quotes a Zohar, that the Zohar says, daven completely silently. And the Arizal would daven completely silently. Every time he said anything, completely silent, with the exception of Zemiros on Shabbos. During the Shabbos meal, he would say Zemiros out loud. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal, no? Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Arizal that the Chachmei HaMekubalim would daven mamish silently, silently, silently. But the Arizal, I'm sorry, it's the Shari Tshuva. Over here, quote, that the Arizal would not be Magbia Kolo, with the exception of Zemiris on Shabbos. Halacha Lemaisa. Are you supposed to daven loud or not? So, the Mechaber says that you should. That you should daven in a loud enough voice that you yourself could hear it. But you get the impression that no one else should hear it besides you. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, you have to make sure that your friend standing next to you doesn't hear. You don't want to disturb them. Nonetheless, many people daven completely silently based on the Zohar, which is also quoted in Poskim.
Does Zohar give a reason?
So the Zohar says that it is here. The Shari Tshuva quotes the Zohar. Lo itrich barnash l'mishmakala b'tzloisa. It's an insult to the Rabboni Shel Olam. The Rabboni Shel Olam could read our minds. So we don't have to...
If you're going to say that, then why say it out loud at all? Like, why articulate it at all?
Right, so apparently there's a mitzvah that you have to articulate it. But according to the Zohar, don't... No voice, not vocalized, b'chlal.
You just move your lips.
Just move your lips. Right. Okay. That's what the Zohar says. Now, Rav Soloveitchik was very opposed to this idea that many Mekubalim have. The Rav said, I gave you sources in the Nefesh HaRav and the Mipnine HaRav, no? Anyone take a look at those?
We started to, yeah. We didn't get.
Okay. So the Rav says that, you know what, Tefillah, davening is supposed to be Ka'omed Lefnei HaMelech, that you're standing in front of a king. When I stand in front of a king, so I don't scream. That's not respectful. Baruch atah! You don't do that. That's not respectful. You also don't whisper. You should say things in a nice, soft voice. That's what the Rav said. And it's well known that the Rav's silent Shona Esrei was actually able to be heard by many people. Because the Rav felt that I daven. Again, there are different versions of why. It could be that the Rav had some sort of like hearing loss. I'm very sympathetic to this. And it could be he couldn't know like his own voice modulation. That's possible. But it's well known that the Rav's silent Shmona Esrei was quite loud.
Not so silent.
So the Talmid, the master of Soloveitchik, they said, Rebbe, do we answer Amen when we hear you saying the silent Shmona Esrei? That's quoted in the Mipnine HaRav. Now Rav Shechter's three books. Nefesh HaRav, Mipnine HaRav. Actually, he has many more books. There's a new one that's just at the Sfarim sale now. Nefesh HaRav, Mipnine HaRav, Divrei HaRav. Those are the three books he has about the Rav. So in Mipnine HaRav, they say that the Rav thought about this. And the Rav says he thinks not to answer Amen because silent Shmona Esrei is meant to be silent. In the Halichos Shlomo from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, He writes the following story, that Reb Shlomo Zalman was asked when he was young by Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer. Reb Isser Zalman was the Rosh Hashiva of Eitz Chaim in Yerushalayim. That's where Reb Aryeh Levine was the Mashkiach, no? It's a heavy-hitting batting order, right? Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer is the Rosh Hashiva, Reb Aryeh Levine is the Mashkiach. Reb Isser Zalman had previously been the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva of Slutsk in Europe. He was the father-in-law of Reb Aaron Cutler. Right, that's Reb Isser Zalman. Let me just tell you one story about Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer, just for fun. When my father was sent by my grandfather to learn in Israel in 1948, right after Hakamat HaMdina. And my grandfather tells my father that he wants my father to make as many relationships with Gedolei Yisrael as he can. So my father was like a little 14-year-old kid hanging around Yerushalayim. My father told me to meet Gedolei Yisrael. So he asks, where does Reb Isser Zalman Meltzer live? Someone tells him over here. My father knocks on his door on the Friday afternoon, and he says, Shalom Aleichem, I'm here to meet you. So Reb Isser Zalman is like, that's very nice. Like, why are you here? So my father's like, you know, my father told me I should meet Gedolei Yisrael. That's why I'm here. So Reb Isser Zalman says, it's nice to meet you. Thank you. By the way, do you want to take a shower? Totally random story. In Yerushalayim in 48, there was a shortage of hot water. So there was no hot water in the yeshiva for the boys to shower. Reb Isser Zalman had a tank. He had hot water. So he offered my father to take a shower in his house. My father, also a little 14-year-old kid, said, what the heck? Why not? So he takes a shower by Reb Isser Zalman's apartment.
Wow.
Okay, so that's one of the stories. So I'm sure your grandfather heard that story from my father. It's like one of my father's favorite ones. So it goes like this. So Reb Isser Zalman, apparently there was one gadol in Yerushalayim, they don't tell you who, who also used to say San Shmon Esrei pretty loud. Reb Isser Zalman asked Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to look into the shaila, whether you answer Amen when someone's saying a San Shmon Esrei out loud. And Reb Shlomo Zalman came back and he said that it's like a machlokes hachrayim. The Chochma Shlomo, Reb Shlomo Kluger, says that you don't answer Amen, and he quotes some other tshuva sefer that you do answer Amen. Okay, very nice. Reb Isser Zalman says, doesn't matter, you shouldn't answer Amen. Now, it would seem to me that this question should depend on the various reasons that we have about saying Shmona Esrei silently, no? Who wants to plug it in? Meira?
If they're supposed to be like personal bakasha, that's sort of like, intruding on your personal bakasha.
No, there's, according to our Gemara, it's like intruding. Okay.
Since if there are bakashos that you're asking for help for, then you would say those out loud.
Nachon. Right? So that would be. So that's a reason not to answer Amen. Agreed. What about some of the other reasons?
Maybe for the Chazon Ish, it's a technicality. We're saying, since we have to say Slach Lanu,
so Slach Lanu you should say quietly, but everything else...
Right, it's just it defaults into that because you say it all the same way.
Right. In other words, so it could be that you should answer Amen. If you hold that the source is from Chana, so the whole Tefillah is derived from Chana, and Chana is the paradigm of Tefillah, no? So you get an impression that it's not proper to daven and say it out loud because that's not tefillah. Tefillah is modeled after Chana. Maybe then you shouldn't say it out loud. If it's based on the Gemara of Hareza Mikatane Amuna, Amana, whatever, you get an impression that maybe that's only if you scream. But if a person says in a slightly audible voice. The person's not screaming. So l'cha'ora, there's no real iser involved. So then maybe you should answer amen. Rav Soloveitchik said, l'maisa, don't answer amen. That's what he told the Talmidim. That's the story. But it itself is interesting. What Rav Schechter has, though, in that piece, I think in Nefesh HaRav, is he thinks this issue is really machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, no? This issue as to whether you're supposed to daven in a way that the words are not at all audible, right? Which we are saying is a machlokes between the Rashba sets a machlokes between the Gemara and the Tosefta, but there's no such Tosefta. But the Beis Yosef said there's a Zohar, etc., like we spoke about. So the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis. The Gemara answers, Tan Rabbon. The Gemara says, Tan Rabbon, V'dibarta bum v'lo b'tfila. V'dibarta bum v'lo b'tfila means, Zokt Rashi, bum, Sheyesh l'cha l'hashmiya mash ata motzi mipicha. When you learn, V'dibarta bum, when you learn, you should hear your words. V'lo b'tfila, but davening, you should not hear your words. By the way, the Alter Rebbe writes in Shulchan Aruch that you're not mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah if you don't say the words out loud, no? Breslover is very into this. You ever sat on the bus next to Breslover and they are like, again, I don't know. The Alter Rebbe writes that that the real kiyum of Talmud Torah is only if you say it out loud. V'dibarta bum. When you learn, you should be mashmiya. You should hear what you're saying. V'lo b'tfila, zakt Rashi. Tfila should be belachash entirely based on chana v'kolah lo yishameya. Tosfos, however, disagrees with Rashi. Tosfos writes, v'dibarta bum v'lo b'tfila means v'dibarta bum that you're allowed to be mafsik in middle of kriyishma. If you have mipnei hayirim, mipnei hakavod, right, the Mishnah says, if you have someone comes by and you're mil shema, you're allowed to interrupt. V'lo b'tfila. By davening, afil nochosh karach al hakevo, during davening, even if there is a snake at your foot.
Yesterday.
Right? It happened yesterday?
No.
Daf Yomi. Oh, yesterday daf Yomi. Okay, you got me scared. Right? Afil nochosh karach al hakevo. You don't interrupt in the middle of davening, no? Zok Taisvis, that's a din d'oraisa, bum v'lo b'tfila. But Rav Schechter quotes from Rav Soloveitchik that the machlokas Rashi and Taisvis is that maybe Taisvis disagrees with Rashi. Because according to Rashi b'tfila, you're supposed to be entirely silent. But according to Tosfos, tfila is not supposed to be entirely silent. Tfila is supposed to be somewhat audible. And therefore, bum v'lo b'tfila has to mean not to be mafsik. Not to be mafsik m'bnei ha'yirim, m'bnei ha'kavod. That's the way Tosfos learns. Okay. So these are, we have four makaros about davening silently. How silent is silent might depend on all these various four makaros. Right, and whether you answer, and then we have that fifth Marim Makom, this Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos over there in Yuma. The Rambam, of course, paskins that you should not daven completely silently. That seems to be the Mechaber's position as well. Even though the Mechaber quoted that Zohar, nonetheless, Halacha L'Maisa, the Mechaber holds that you should daven slightly audibly. It says in Shulchan Aruch, however, in Siman Kuf Aleph Se'if Gimel, that in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, people daven somewhat louder than usual in order to help their kavana. It's clear that it helps your kavana, the way the Taz learns, if it enhances your kavana. The Mishnah Berurah learns if you can't daven with kavana at all, unless you daven somewhat out loud, you're allowed to do it, but make sure you don't disturb people. But Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it says in Shulchan Aruch that we daven slightly louder. So I think there's a question over here, but I was just looking before and I couldn't remember it. Aren't there some Mefarshim who say that the episode of Chana took place on Rosh Hashanah? And that's why it's the Haftorah on Rosh Hashanah? No? But here's the problem. If I learn Siling Shmona Esrei from V'chana Himidaberes Al Liba, right? I'm learning Siling Shmona Esrei from Chana. On Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shmona Esrei doesn't have to be completely silent, like it says in Siman Kuf Aleph Se'if Gimel. But the Mice of Chana took place on Rosh Hashanah. Right, that means, by the way, why is it Rosh Hashanah? Even though it sounds like there's Aliyah L'Regel going on, right? That's why Elkanah is going up, but there was no real Aliyah L'Regel by Mishkan Shiloh, no? The real mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel is only in the Menucha Vel Hanachala, is in the Mikdash. There's probably no mitzvah, I think the Radak has, no? The Radak has there in Parak Aleph of Shmuel. As to whether there's a mitzvah aliyah l'regel in the Mishkan Shiloh. According to Chazal, that it happened on Rosh Hashanah, so the whole Gemara, the whole din of saying Shmona Esrei silently is kasher lahavin. Because on Rosh Hashanah itself, Chana's davening silently. Doesn't stem. So that's a kasha for you to think about. And Bli Neder will go weiter on Wednesday. I'll try to give more Ma'ar Makomas for tomorrow night. Did everyone finish one of the Makoros that we gave?
No.
What
couldn't
you find? What couldn't you find?
I don't know. Is it were all of them on the...
Not all of them are on the sheet.
Yeah.
Okay, so any Ma'ar Makom that you can't find, just WhatsApp me and I'll photocopy it and send it to the Chevra. And, okay. Have a good night.